20. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting, as always, from the Chicago suburbs. I really appreciate you joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org, and I invite you to also visit and subscribe to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where you will find so much information. That site is just loaded with archive files, with just all kinds of things. Anything that you would want to find, you will find it there, and it's a wonderful site. So please do visit SpingolaSpeaks.net. Also visit ScreeningSandyHook.net, and during the program, email questions or comments to comment@Spingola.email, and visit our chat room at Spingola.chatango.com, and you may view our future, past, and current guest lineup by visiting Spingola.com and just click on the radio schedule button on the left, and you can see who we've had on the program and who we're going to have on the program in the future. Now, today, our guest is Ray West, and I had him on my program here at RBN 7 years ago, which is a very long time to go between interviewing guests. But time flies when we're having fun or when lots of things are going on. But anyway, his one of his websites is big-lies.org. Ray, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Am I coming through all right here?
Yes, you sound wonderful.
Oh, that's jolly good. How is Chicago, by the way? You hear some rather nasty stories about
gosh.
It. You're in.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a safe part of it, are you?
I'm in the suburbs, thank goodness, but the Chicago is run by a very interesting gentlewoman, gentleman. A woman dresses like a man.
Really?
Her name is Lori Lightfoot, and she's married to, and she is African-American, black, and she's married to a white woman, and they have a child. Don't ask me how that occurred. Details aren't public. But anyway, so she's running the city into the ground, probably. But I think it's probably not a place that you'd want to visit. Chicago is typically a very nice city to visit and to see the sights. And there's wonderful things to see in Chicago, unless, of course, they've burnt a lot of it down. Or something, I don't know. It's a mess. I guess it's a mess in a lot of places.
Okay. Right. Sorry, I just dropped my mouse, which is a new ergonomic one. What should we talk about? Can I start by just discussing okay, it's 7 1/4 years, actually, since we spoke last.
Yes.
I'd like to just go through what's happened to my website. That sounds a bit boring, but in your honor, I looked on my web log analyzer. You know, it's got these .gz, or in English, it's .gz files, and I've found that since that time, I've had no less than 6.4 million page views with 67,000 hours of viewers. And
wow!
Is that a lot? I don't know if it is.
I think so. Of course, I don't know. I don't keep track of who visits or who doesn't on my website. But a lot of things have happened since we've talked, and a lot of things are going on. It's amazing. But bring us up to date about what you're working on.
Well, I'm working on a whole lot of things. I do spend quite a lot of time just agonizing over my website, which I probably spend more time than makes sense, really. I've had about 2.5 million pages on Nuke Lies. If you remember, we spoke about nukes last time.
Right.
I got a rather disappointing response. I don't know if you agree with me, but the Jewish influence has been pretty devastating on all fields.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Yes, you are. Yeah. the nukes, yes. The if you ask physicists, there are some physicists who have an idea what's going on, but they basically won't talk, just as lawyers won't talk, and educators won't talk, and historians won't talk, and medical people as well, medical researchers won't talk. I mean, a lot of them know perfectly well that this coronavirus thing is a bunch of what I should call BS, I suppose. But anyway, what I'm working on is, let me see, I've got my things here, my articles on Jews gets lots of hits, so do I on my Judaism chronology site. Mm-hmm. And the Guide for Perplexed, they all get quite a lot of hits. I get some for Ireland, Scotland and Cromwell and Jews. That's a surprise to me. And I've got another one here on Bertrand Russell on as a dupe, because I don't know about you, I regard the entire Victorian period really as being a bit of a waste of time. There are all these people half asleep, just doing nothing, and it's caught up with us now with a bit of vengeance.
I think when you consider the 15 billionaires that run the media and own the media, you can kind of understand why people don't really know what's going on. And I think, well, most of us have been educated in government schools, and so it doesn't surprise me that people don't recognize accurate history and what's going on, and even with the corona nonsense. And there have been some people who have talked about that. And I think John Rappaport said recently that you figure out the number of people that die in each country, and what they're doing now is just saying, okay, all the deaths that occur in this particular location, we're going to attribute those to coronavirus.
Yeah, lots of things.
So, yeah.
Yeah, death certificates are not reliable, are they?
No.
Tragic thing. But of course, the people who know this, there must be quite a few professional medical types who are perfectly aware of all this, but they just don't dare say anything. You had the same thing with immigrants or invaders, whatever you call them, that some of them were, you know, ill or carried very unpleasant diseases. I mean, well, there were lots of them. But the people were not in charge. The medical establishment just kind of turned a blind eye. It's very, very sad. I'm trying also to get stuff, looking back at the past. I've got some Jewish propaganda publishing. Victor Galanx, I don't know if you've heard of him there, related to, for example, Penguin Books. So I've got a whole thing on from 1908 to 1948. I like to go back so that people who are new to this kind of stuff can go back and sort of revisit their past and get a good insight into what's gone on or not gone on since then. Another thing is this business of education dumbing down. I don't know if you've looked into that. It's an obvious, very bad way of teaching people to read or write, teaching children. It kind of buggered up loads of them.
Oh, right, yes.
That's quite an important thing. There's also this master race stuff. I've got a whole piece on the Second World War, we ought to discuss that as well. There are a lot of Jews, for example, at the Bletchley Park listening post. You know, it's famous for having Enigma, or supposedly having Enigma. I'm not sure if it really did. But there were a lot of Jews there. I've found, you know, you find stuff out just by chance. I found a magazine on ham radio, you know, in Britain, ham radio operators, and there a lot of those were obviously Jewish. And I think this leads to the possibility that the whole of the Second World War was just rigged up by Jews, which you must have heard of that idea. But I'll talk about that later. I've got some other stuff on the BBC as well. There's a couple of people called the Dimblebys. They were outed as being Jews fairly a year or two ago. It's awful stuff, really. I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, let's try and... I concentrate on trying to get the situation understood rather than... I'm not sure there's anything much that can be done about it, except that something that's only occurred to me a couple of days ago, except you have to go for big money rather than small stuff. One of the one of the articles, one of the people writing about the coronavirus thing was Miles Mathis, and he said that there's, in effect, the Federal Reserve printed $2 trillion more dollars, you know, which were borrowed from the American people. That's enough to give 2 million people a million each. So that's a lot of sort of bribery money that can be exerted.
Now you're in Great Britain, not great. Okay, you're in Britain,
yeah.
England. There's nothing great about it, but anyway, you have a centralized health service.
The NHS, yeah.
And Vernon Coleman has talked about this in some of his YouTube videos, and we also have, of course, a centralized health service that is represented by several institutions, several CDC but when you think about incrementally, when you think about when the Obamacare or actually the Affordable Health Care Act went into being, then people thought, oh, this is wonderful. People are going to have access to health care, and this is going to be wonderful. And it really isn't wonderful. It really just allows the government to take possession of your body and to dictate to you what you will do and what you will not do. And, for instance, if they can come in and kidnap your children, medically kidnap your children, if you are not giving your children the medical care that is recommended exactly vaccines or anything else.
I don't think it's that stage in Britain. The NHS is, when it started up, I think it was 1948, it was regarded as a new dawn. I've spoken to doctors who were there at the time, and they regarded it as being a wonderful thing, partly because, I mean, they got quite a lot of money out of it. You know, they had a sort of rota system, whatever it's called, where they have a certain, like a few thousand people on their books, whatever it is. The drawback with it is just that, of course, as you kind of imply, if the government gets a bee in its bonnet, they can have all kinds of rubbish going on. And that, of course, is what's happening now. What happened with AIDS as well, of course. And there are other things like the like addictive drugs, and I think the situation there is, in America, is probably worse than in Britain with the Sacklers and OxyContin.
But right.
The main problem with the NHS really is that they're not incredibly well trained, well educated, in my view. You get these people. I could talk a bit later on salt. I found out only recently, several years ago, I was in contact with an Australian who was trying to sell, I don't know how well he's done, salt, and he had a very convincing and, in fact, correct view of how you have to have salt. It's an essential thing just to get the chlorine for your hydrochloric acid in your stomach. It's irreplaceable. And so the idea of reducing salt intake is a serious mistake. Have you heard that?
I have not heard reason. But definitely it makes sense. And they say, oh, it's for your good. You know, it'll reduce your salt intake because of your heart or whatever. But I've never done that. I like salt.
That's good for salt you. Your metabolism basically is, you do have receptors for salt. It's got a distinctive taste. And there's a good reason for that, because, you know, it's necessary. It really is. It's not just that it gives you stomach acid, it alkalizes, it makes your body go more alkaline.
Right.
And that's related to cancer, liability to cancer. If your body is alkaline, it was discovered in the 30s or 20s, and I presume they got this right, I'm not absolutely certain, but if your body is weakly alkaline, corresponding to the strong acid in your stomach, then that's an anti-cancer kind of state to be in. But, I mean, this is the sort of thing that people in the NHS don't know. I mean, I know people who've had, who've been diagnosed with diabetes. You know, they have two types. they call it type 2 diabetes, which is just caused by eating too much sugar, really. And they kind of confuse that in the most ridiculous way with people who genetically can't metabolize, they don't have insulin. Absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, the NHS was started with great enthusiasm, but it does tend to run into problems. Mind you, the private sector is bad as well. I've got a thing on my website, which is now 20 years old, about private hospitals in Britain. And they were our conclusion. The conclusion was to go to NHS-controlled hospitals, because they tend to have a better better care record than private ones. Anyway, let me just go through my other things here. I've got some reviews.
Sure.
This is all in your honour here. my reviews, here we are. I've got 370,000 pages. That's quite interesting. Dennis Wise was my top one. He must know him, yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, well, I'd have to discuss him again in future. I think he's been sort of overtaken by this stuff about World War II, which situates Hitler not as a one person, not as a one man band, which of course Jews want to pretend, but as a whole, one part in a huge section of humanity. And it's a new view of Hitler to me. Anyway, like a few years ago, I heard of it and worked on it and investigated it. Anyway, so Dennis, he was popular. He got a lot of hits. I'd heard things about him being I think he was a music producer or something. Anyway, that was his position there. Then I got some reviews of films, TV and DVDs, which I try to do from a revisionist point of view, you know. There's an awful lot of crappy media rubbish out there. And there are very few, I think, Britain. I don't think they're lazier than in the USA, or if it's about the same. But there are very few people doing decent crits of these things. You know, there just aren't many. I saw quite a good one of The Sound of Music, you know. That was years ago. That's quite a significant piece. But, I mean, there are hundreds of them, hundreds and thousands of these bloody things. I also got a lot of views from Mein Kampf. I did a review of Mein Kampf, which I've updated from now and then, which I thought was quite good. I suppose other people did as well. I hope so. I've also connected together Jews, Christians, and Muslims. I think the perception of these religions as all being, quotes, Abrahamic, unquote. I mean, they're all Jewish-sourced. And I might say some things about religion there, which you're not happy with. I don't know what your view is on that. I also had hits on race. I've got some collected reviews of books on race. And also on Bertrand. I liked Bertrand Russell. I know he's dead. He's been dead since about 1970. He's been dead for about 50 years, but I think he was quite influential. But in my view, he was another one of these people who was not Jew aware. So he was, unfortunately, he failed the serious tests, which we all get occasionally. I also, let me see, Homeless Jack shows up here. Kevin McDonald's Culture of Critique shows up as well.
Yes, I like him.
You like him? Unfortunately, I think he's kind of basically been treading water for 25 years since he wrote those books. I mean, he does nothing about the really important issues. Obviously nothing about nukes, but he also did nothing noticeable about 9/11. Did he? Yeah, nothing about the Federal Reserve, nothing about wars, funding of wars. So I don't think. So I think his time, a bit like Dennis Wise, I think he's let his opportunity slip. Although he does have some good reviewers, good contributors, amidst the not so good ones. What else have I got here? Oh, Lomborg, Bjorn Lomborg. I got some hits on. Am I still talking?
We have a commercial break. So we have 3 minutes and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All righty, we are back, and our guest today is Ray West, and his website, big-lies.org. Plus, he has a whole bunch of other websites, and I will post those in the chat room as we go through the program. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, hi. I was going to say there since 2013, since we spoke last, and we're both 7 and a bit years old. It's terrible, isn't it? There are two.
I've only aged half that in those 7 years.
Well done. Well done. Yes, hi. Yes, okay. I won't, comment on that. Right, there are two people I want to mention here especially who were not around at the time then, as far as I was concerned anyway. And one of them is Miles Mathis, who's, in my view, kind of the supernova in the rather dim constellation of revisionism. And I first heard of him in 2014, it was just after you. And, his site actually disappeared in 2017, in April, for a bit. And I was afraid that it would have been taken down. So I put up, I've started copying his PDF files on my site. And I've also got a site searcher. If you want to look at Miles Mathis, I do recommend my site searcher, because you can get a whole list of files. If you type in, say, JFK or something like that, or Woodrow Wilson, whatever it might be, you get a whole list of things, because he types a lot of things, and there are many multiple entries into his site. But although I'm not absolutely sure about that, if you look at his site directly, he's got some very good stuff, and he's so prolific that perhaps that doesn't really matter. And as far as as far as I could see, his leading ones are one on Trump, one called Synag, presumably cynical, one .pdf, AOC, and Phoenix 5 PDF. And I've got a lot of information about him on my site. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for your bump out thing to start. Now, another supernova is Hexane 527. I don't know if you've heard of him. It's French. It no doubt should be pronounced Hexan, with 527 in French. His main concentration is on the Second World War, and he's taken things basically a top-down approach. He's adopted, in effect, he's adopted a null hypothesis, as some people say. His null hypothesis being that Jews controlled the whole of the Second World War, or enough of it to do what they wanted to. And I've got a list on my if Deanna gets this list of things up, you can see it.
That's quite a list. I'll put it up, but people will have to I can put this list in the chat room.
Will it work? Does it work?
It will work, but people have to, let me just check it out.
They click on it.
Because you don't have the actual URLs. You have their links, but they're not the URLs. But you have the URLs embedded in the link. So I'll check it out and we'll see.
Well, sure, okay.
Fine.
Anyway, Hexane is unquestionably one of the best people for doing that kind of stuff. I must get him. I must get his file up here. Right. Okay. Anyway, there are other things that I've learnt personally. Maybe other people have followed the same path. I hope so. One of them is this bit, as I was saying, this business about Abrahamic religions, and also early Christianity and usury. And I've got a new view on that. I think the whole usury thing is actually a blind. It's a distraction. I think Christians and Jews collaborated right from the start, and in effect, shall I go into this? Let me explain what I'm going on about here. The early Christians were mostly all the early popes were Jews, and
the Catholic popes you're saying?
Catholic popes, yeah, they were all Jews. It's in Gibbon, you know, Gibbon's Decline.
Oh, right, yes, that huge volume. Yes.
Huge volumes, yeah. The point is, there's, in my view, a fake. What happened really was that you've got the Mediterranean, which is this huge area. I don't know if people are used to that, really. It's by far the biggest inland sea in the world, and it's also connected up to big areas as well, like the Black Sea. It's a huge area, and it's also comparatively easy to navigate, which is why shipbuilding developed there. I mean, for example, China doesn't have that. So China did have ships, but they were not anywhere near as developed as in the Med. Right. And anyway, as a result of you know, ships going around, the way it developed was that Jews got, in a word, Jews got the towns, and Catholics got the countryside. And that's the way it stayed.
Mm. Interesting. Alrighty, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ray West, and his website is big-lies.org. Plus, he's got some other ones that I have posted in the chat room.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Right, okay. I was just trying to discuss early Christianity and the sort of fantasy of usury. In my view, this is generally accepted, I think, by Jews. They like ghettos, they like cities, they like living in towns in their kind of sweaty little places, you know. And the way this thing developed with Christianity was that the Jews were doing the deals, you know, they had shipping, and they'd take things, whatever it might be, slaves maybe or something, and that of course needed contact in the towns and the ports, so they had their own little network there, which was kind of became you know, Freemasons in these towns.
Well, and the Jewish people were. They were kind of in charge of the merchandising, and they had the trade routes. They were the ones that knew how to trade items from one place to another, and they actually, you mentioned ghettos, they actually ghettoized themselves. They decided it wasn't something that was put upon them. They decided that they would have their own distinct districts to live in because they were special and they didn't want to interact with the rest of the people.
Well, yes, that's more or less, I'd say it's more or less right, yeah. But the thing about the way they, in effect, they were a distributed state. They weren't just in one place. It's a very unfamiliar concept to most people, but they regarded themselves as being spread around various places. And of course, they had their own language, and people just really didn't know what they were dealing with. They had, you know, so any moment they might send, and a whole bunch of Jews might turn up. So they had this kind of manipulative attitude. Now, what happened with Christianity was that was, in my view, that was a sort of split off from Jews. What they did was one country at a time. They'd pick them off. They'd demand that they convert. And their policy there was to go for land ownership. You know, they'd get typically a tenth, you know, a tithe, that kind of thing. And of course, land ownership does have various oddities. Sometimes it expands. Sometimes you have war, like tin in Cornwall or something, or sheep in the Middle Ages. But generally speaking, very often the land is fairly homogeneous. So if you can get vicars or whatever just to kind of settle it, then you've got a sort of workable system which makes money out of the locals. And I'm not, you know, it's difficult to assess how much value these people were. If you look at Victorian England, which is I'm kind of vaguely familiar with, there were something like 20,000 vicars, right, all getting their percentages, all getting their money from the land. They called them livings, in fact. And in fact, half of all of the output from Oxford and Cambridge, half of these graduates, you know, after they were 21 or something, and they'd done a bit of Greek and Latin and all this sort of stuff. And because of, if you've got 20,000 people, quite a lot of those are going to die every year. I'd say if it's between the ages of, say, 20 and 60, say about a 40th would die every year, wouldn't they? Something like that. So you've got a few hundred. Anyway, it was enough to mop up quite a lot of the output from Oxford and Cambridge. And of course, they got a guaranteed living. And it's like the civil service or something. They had some things to do. They had to give broadcasts every Sunday, which actually must have been a bit like the BBC. Of course, nobody had invented electronic broadcasting, so you had to have all these people scattered around, all preaching stuff, you know, saying that typically the preachers, the stuff they preach is in three parts. You have a thing asking for money, you have another thing saying how wonderful the church is, and, you know, how it's criminal to criticize it, and, you know, things like that. So anyway, that was the idea. That's what Jews sort of installed. It was one at a time. The last one, I think, was Lithuania in, I think it was 1400, something like that. It started in England. It was about 500 or 600 AD, I think it was. And of course, these people were all made heroes. I mean, King Alfred is supposed to have learned Latin and gone to Rome, that kind of stuff. And that kind of thing is fairly typical. But the thing to take away is that it was a money-making scheme. Now, some of the people listening to this will see the point here. You've got a money-making scheme, so they have money. They do need, funding for churches and cathedrals. And in my view, there was an unspoken collaboration between Jews and Catholics, as they then were, Roman Catholics. And the idea was that the vicars would say that interest is a sort of crime, but Jews can do it, you know. So all the lending was in the hands of Jews, or a lot of it. Whereas obviously anybody could have done that. No, it's not, no special skill required in lending, provided you've got the thing can be enforced properly and so on. So in my view, that was the way it worked. You had this business about usury, which some people, I mean, Michael Hoffman is very keen on that. He thinks that it was a sin, and it should always have been a sin, and it was rescinded by the Protestants. But in my view, that's missing the whole point, really, which is that, you know, that Lending is a perfectly sensible way of doing things if you need a lot of money. You know, if you want a big building or something, or a sheep ranch or whatever it is. So that was the church's role, was to fend off, to prevent normal people from lending. And they also, actually, it occurred to me just recently, just yesterday I think it was, that Jews also, they control brothels, you know. There's a whole lot of stuff about Jews and pornography, because they tend to run...
Currently?
It was currently, was back there as well. Mm. But the point is that the church would oppose brothels, and that would leave the market open to Jews. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a great fan of brothels. I'm just pointing out...
Well, I'm really glad.
Well, I'm just pointing out that...
No.
I'm just pointing out that as with damaging lending, they also controlled brothels. So in my view, throughout this whole period, whenever you hear about the Jews hating Catholics and vice versa, it's bullshit. It's divide and rule. It's one of these things. But I'm not saying that's true all the time. It's just when the country became richer, basically, you know, sorry, I mean, if it was built up and if there were more industries and so on, then obviously land ownership becomes more important. So you're going to get Jews kind of dipping their fingers into land ownership. But anyway, the point to grasp is that in the early days of Christianity, it was a money-making scheme, and they picked them out one at a time, because of course you can do this if you're scattered. If you're like Jews, you can get them to hire mercenaries and thugs and stuff from all around the Mediterranean and other places, no doubt, and they can all go and threaten, for example, you know, people in Germany. I think Charlemagne was one of them. Charlemagne was a convert, or officially he was a convert. So that's the way it worked, and I mean, that was very successful. Unfortunately, it means that Jews were essentially controlling the whole of the economics and the countryside. It's amazing, really, fantastic. And of course, they had various ways of dealing with dealing with wars. The England was invaded by basically Jew-funded people, but the first wave, this was in 1066, the first lot were Norsemen, were from Norway, and they invaded the north of England. And there was a big, there were big battles there, and in fact, they were, from the point of view of the Norwegians, it was a bit of a disaster. They ended up with their bones strewn about all over the place. And then, anyway, by what could presumably not be a coincidence, William the Conqueror then attacked from Normandy, and that was the way the Norman conquest was carried out. It was quite carefully planned. And of course, most people who study wars and stuff don't take account of the intelligence. They think it's they think the weapons are all the thing and the battles. They don't look at what really happens. And that's true of a place like West Point, as far as I can gather. If you watch YouTubes of West Point lecturers, you get some incredible crap. And they just don't understand where the money came from. So
well, that's one of the best ways to make money is to, oh, it's hard to say, invest in war, because war takes a lot of, especially nowadays, it takes bombs and it takes airplanes, it takes ships, it takes and the other thing is all of the other things that go along with war. I recently reread War is a Racket by General Smedley Butler. Mm. And he gives examples like DuPont, for instance, which I talked about with Robert A. Bellot just recently, because DuPont has poisoned most of the world with their chemicals. And so I thought, well, I'm gonna look at DuPont's history. And then I read about DuPont and War is a Racket, and how much they made in World War One. They were making $6 million a year, but in wartime they were making about $18 million. And then I went back further to find where the family came from, and come to find out that they have been engaged in warfare, and in the skill or the avocation of killing people for a long, long time. They originally came out of France, and they were providing war implementation since the beginning with their powder, gunpowder. How would you like to be a family that's associated for the last 200-300 years with killing? That's pretty awful.
Yes, I know what you mean. I agree. Yes, but of course you've got to look at it from the point of view of the states as well. And I mean, if you've got country A and they're being offered a big loan to get stuff, and they've got to pay it back, or at least the taxpayers have got to pay it back, and then country B also gets the same sort of offer, because these people tend not to trust each other. And of course, that distrust is easily sown, isn't it? Especially if you control the media. So it is a very difficult kind of thing. Incidentally, you're quite right about this, about waste. I think Lyndon Johnson was a Jew. He was a Jew from Texas, and hence the liberty and all this stuff. But
Do you know that for certain? Or
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I can't remember the details of it, but his wife.
Oh yes, I believe his wife definitely was. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, he wanted basically to have to just waste stuff. I mean, there are reports of 10,000 maybe helicopters being downed in Vietnam. And you see, from our point of view, if you think helicopters, however many, millions or something, then that sounds like a disaster. But from the Jewish point of view, what that means
is more money.
More money for them and less money for the others. And of course, it works their advantage also, because the taxpayers are get more and more screwed by tax demands. But
it's all shoved off onto the taxpayers. The all the people who are engaged in war, who invest money in warfare, like our so-called Congress, who is supposed to be representing us, they know when a war is going to happen, or we don't say war because a war hasn't been really declared for some time, but they know where to invest their money, and of course they get very rich off of this. Where was I going with this? It's all about investing and then shoving off the interest to the taxpayer. The taxpayers are the ones that are paying for this.
Well, that's right, but it's also over a long time. And if you have a loan over 100 years, say, it makes it look a lot less. People tend not to notice.
Sure.
In the British budget announcements, you get all this stuff once a year, and they concentrate on, beer going up or something. They never mention the big picture of these loans. Never. I've never seen it mentioned. So that is very important to understand this stuff. And a lot of people don't. It just doesn't. It's just not something they're used to. Most people, if they know about mortgages, okay, not everybody does. I've met people who don't understand mortgages. But the business of spending stuff over a long period is kind of not noticed by anybody. And it's not even a matter of interest. I think even repayments, a lot of people will condemn it as being involving usury, but I don't think that really makes that much difference. I mean, if you borrow a trillion or something, even if there's no interest, it's still a bugger to pay it back. I noticed, Miles Mathis. Oh, by the way, Miles Mathis had a piece on Smedley Butler.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten the details, but he basically thinks that Butler was just another something like a liar.
No, I don't believe so. No, well, I do not believe that at all.
Well, I don't want to get...
My grandfather was his aide, so I know personally that he was not...
Okay, well, do yourself a favor and look up on Miles Mathis about Butler. It's butler.pdf, but I forget the details in enough detail to be confident about it. But you're absolutely right about the waste. And of course, the way to view it is you have to look at any economy as having partly a Jewish component and partly non-Jewish. The idea of a nation state is a bit of a myth. You've got this sort of J sector and all the rest of it. And if the Jews can get money from taxpayers, they're going to do it. There's a quote by Trump. I wasn't able to find it, but he said in effect that lawyers will happily, you know, ruin you to a few million dollars, provided they get, you know, 100,000 out of it.
Wow. All right, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
3 minutes, okay.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Alrighty, welcome back.
Yeah, hi.
Okay. Our guest is Ray West, and his website is big-lies.org. Okay. Continue. Well, we were talking about Schmedelbauer and Johnson.
We were talking about really the Jews as separate part of the financial sector, separate interest group, which is sort of duplicated around the world, including, I'm pretty sure, in places like China and Turkey and South American countries, and of course South Africa. It's important to realize that because they've got this international sort of exchange of information and so on, and that's why you get the same sort of structures, the same policies occurring worldwide, like this marriage of homosexuals and women and all the rest of it.
They actually developed one of the earliest communication implemented communication very early and were the first to really use it. And since they are not really attached to any one country, then they are considered globalists and aren't dedicated to one country. Go ahead.
What system are you talking about? Of communication between Jews? Do you mean letters? Do you mean sort of?
No. I covered it in one of my books in my trilogy, but I don't want to, get off topic. And I'll look it up during the commercial, so I can give you specifics.
But I do encourage people to try and work out in an algebraic way, if you're good with algebra and arithmetic and so on, to perceive the way that Jews can be sort of slotted into an economy. And sorry, I'm not being very articulate. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's late here. It's 10 o'clock now here, 10 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, you're behind us, you see, in the
right,
time.
Right, 6 hours, I think.
I think 7, it varies.
Sometimes
there's, daylight saving or whatever. That's why I was a bit worried about being on the, in touch with you here. Right, anyway, that's why, yeah, J, have a J sector, remember it, because if you don't. Let me just return to Miles Mathers. He was talking about the coronavirus, and he's got this theory that he was looking at figures for the Federal Reserve, and he says, with a graph to prove it, that they borrowed $2 trillion, so that's enough to give 2 million Americans, or indeed 2 million, anybody else hostile or not to America, $1 million each. So that's quite a whip to crack, it's quite a carrot. So I think he's right. I think probably this whole business with coronavirus is just a blind, that's to kind of to keep people away from the other things, because the way things are going, maybe the economies are going to be damaged. They'll pretend it wasn't them, but they'll be damaged by this coronavirus, all this stuff closing. So that'll mean they'll have a what they call fire sale prices.
Wow. Alrighty, we are at the top of the hour. We will be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.